This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
I'm not sure exactly what Mike Vick's credibility is when it comes to calling a guy the guy or saying that a guy is going to be the guy in the future, but he did say that the Dak Prescott is going to be your quarterback for a long time and that he is that dude right now. And I'm going to get into that quote in just a minute. Do you believe him? And what's it going to take for you to believe that Dak Prescott is the dude? Somebody from the 469 said Chuck Norris has to give Dak the thumbs up. And I understand, like, that's the level of credibility, Kevin, that I think it's going to take for some Dak Prescott haters to finally buy in on it. And I think the last couple of games this year didn't help. The fact that Dak Prescott couldn't will his team into the playoffs at the end of the season, and I'm going to blame the bum shoulder on the Eagles game, but that was it, man. Like, that team was done. And obviously, you would have liked to have seen a lot more from the rest of your teammates. But what person out there is going to change or convince anybody's mind that Dak Prescott is the dude? 877-881-1053. Here's the quote from Michael Vick. He said, "I think Dak is solid. I love what Dak's doing. I think to have a new coach come into the building right now is probably one of the best things that could happen to him, especially getting McCarthy. He's an offensive genius, an offensive guru who knows the game, and he will help Dak out tremendously, and the Cowboys will look different next year. Dak is a Dallas Cowboy for life, regardless of how they configure it. He'll be the guy behind center for a long time, and he's proven he's worthy of that." And that right there, does Mike Vick have credibility with you?
As far as knowing what it takes to be the guy, yeah, absolutely he does.
And I'm wondering, and a lot of people out there, 877-881-1053.
Yes.
Who has to be the guy that comes out and says, this is the dude? Troy Aikman has already said that he really likes Dak Prescott.
I don't think Troy Aikman will get it done for a lot of contemporary
because he's a
fans.
Former Cowboy.
Yeah, but it's been 20 years, right? Or I guess at this point it's 20 years. It's been 20 years. So I mean, that works for me and I'm sold on that. But
and if Roger says it, Roger is traditionally a Cowboys homer.
That is true, but
which I love. I'm fine with that.
So that's why I think it would take more contemporary great quarterbacks. So I think it would be Pat Mahomes, Lamar Jackson-esque. You know, like one of those
guys. You're going to need a word from the guy that he's playing against?
Yeah. So I think it would be somebody contemporary. Because think about it. Who's going to... So like you use Troy Aikman. For some people, he's been out of the game too long. I know he still does the commentating, but I mean, like, he hasn't been playing the game for 20 years, and so that's not going to work. And then obviously, Roger Staubach is not going to work. It's not going to be somebody from the Cowboys organization. That's not going to work because they're like, well, of course you support him. You just gave him the contract, and I get that. So I think it would take one of his high level contemporaries from the current NFL.
What about Drew Brees?
Yeah, Drew Brees would work.
That would be... Now, let me ask you this, because I know I'm listening to Sean and RJ, and Sean this morning said that he's still out on the idea, and that's why franchise tag he's okay with, because he's still out on the idea that he's the guy, that he's a $40 million quarterback. And $40 million quarterback, I totally get that. It makes sense. It's a lot of money to invest. But I think he's the guy. Mike Vick says he's the guy. Is that the standard then? Because you just don't believe. Do you believe he is the $40 million quarterback, or do you believe he is a franchise quarterback?
Yeah, I would probably say closer to that second one because I don't think anybody would be worth $40 million. But I understand how the economics of the NFL work. But you know how I want to convince every player to take the least amount of money possible so I can just go gobble up all the talent. But that's not realistic. So from that perspective, yes. I do not think he's a franchise quarterback yet. However, I think he's close and I see the potential for it. And that's what makes you nervous, right? Because if you give him a long-term contract, well, you're not dealing in potential anymore. You're dealing in absolutes. Like I have decided, if you give Dak Prescott, let's just say he gets a 5-year, $180 million contract, right? Which would be 36 per. If you give him that contract, then you're not dealing in hypotheticals. You're saying you're the guy. That's why I have not ruled out the franchise tag. I understand if you posted a secondary franchise tag on the next year, that's like $50 million or whatever. But I wouldn't mind one more year of data points. I don't know if he'd be thrilled by that, but that might be the direction that I go.
All right, there are a lot of names being thrown out here, Kevin, and I'm going to get to one that I think is probably the most important. Somebody said Aaron Rodgers.
I think Aaron Rodgers is fair. Yeah.
Somebody said maybe the Patriots head coach. If Bill Belichick said that quarterback right there is a winner, and I'd love to have a quarterback, he can't say it because that's tampering. But if he was to say something about Dak Prescott, that would hold a lot of weight with me.
And that's good. I don't think that would hold a lot of weight with me because I absolutely think Bill Belichick is one of the top two coaches in the history of the NFL. But also remember how hard he BS'd on the Redskins when he's like, oh, yeah, could be any three of them, and they all present unique bull crap. So, like, he's good at BSing. So I don't know if that would do it for me.
From the 214, they're going to stick with Dak way longer than they should, just like they did with Romo. And then somebody said that Peyton Manning, if Peyton Manning was a guy. And somebody said, in all honesty, Peyton Manning or Brett Favre. Now, Brett Favre has already given the nod for Dak Prescott. Here's the name that I think that may need to be it, and I don't know that we've gotten the nod from him. Tony Romo.
Read that poem.
But I know he read the poem, Kevin, but Tony Romo was the guy. And I think that there's still that's the division. I think people that still are out on Dak are still upset that Romo left. And while you've watched Tony Romo call a couple of Dak games here, has he ever said, man, he does this well? And has he had a really good quality game on a Tony Romo broadcast that just made him just gush over him?
I do particularly recall one specific play where he said something like, that's the magic of Dak because he kept a play alive like far longer than it should have. And that might have been because he saw some of his own swagger right there. But I do recall that.
I think that's the one person that would really unlock that fans would go, all right, well, I mean, if Romo said it, because I think that he, you know, being the guy replacing the guy is tough. But once that guy has passed the torch over, then it changes. But you took the torch from a guy that a lot of people are upset about.
Would it help if he said something like, I think he's the guy to get done what we couldn't?
Ooh. Yeah, but there's no way Romo would ever admit that.
Probably not.
I mean,
he
would say something like, we could have, but.
I mean, you know, he didn't.
But Kevin, that's Dean Blandino's fault, all right?
Sure. I agree with that to a certain extent.
He's never going to throw Patrick Creighton.
Yes, and I do agree, and Patrick Creighton.
But I guess that is part of the universal we in that situation.
DeMarco Murray to a certain extent. I do want to clarify this one thing, because this is a great text. From the 254, please stop saying we are Dak haters. I just don't think he's a franchise quarterback. Then you're not a Dak hater. There's a difference, all right? So in the subsection of people that hate Dak Prescott, there is what I feel is a very reasonable opinion that you're okay with Dak Prescott, but you don't think he's a franchise quarterback and you don't want to give him all the money. That's fine. I think that's a perfectly reasonable opinion that multiple people can share. However, there's another group in the subsection of the people that don't like Dak Prescott that think he sucks no matter what. Like, he was second in the league in most passing yards, but he sucks. His turnover interception ratio has been tremendous for the vast majority of his time in the league, but he still sucks. Like, no matter what he does, he sucks. And the Cowboys always win in spite of him. And even when he has a tremendous game, they will not give it up. And so there's a difference. Like, there are people who don't like Dak Prescott because they don't think he's the guy. That's fine. But then there are people who think he's trash and will bash him indiscriminately. That is not okay.
Now, here's something else that came up, Kevin, that I think has become a very interesting point of contention. This contract situation is going to be ongoing until it's done. And when it's done, now he has to live up to all this, right? Like, he lived up to getting the contract last year. I think he did. Whatever contract he gets, he did the quality work. He's put it in since year one. Okay. He's gotten better each year at something. I completely agree on that. But if there becomes contentious contract negotiations, Dak Prescott, you heard Mike Florio this morning say he could enact the Le'Veon Bell plan and say, I'll be back whenever y'all sign me. And I'll see y'all later. And the Cowboys are trying to install a completely new offense, or maybe not even a completely new offense, but new language, new discussion about what they're going to be doing, what they're looking for to win. Mike McCarthy doesn't want his quarterback to be not around during training camp or not around during mini camps, not around during OTAs. So they need that guy there. And if he said, hey, I'll see y'all when I see you, that would implode everything that they're trying to build this season with Mike McCarthy. So if there is a lot of leverage right now. Now, you ask the question, would that hurt Dak's status as a leader?
Honestly, I think it would. And I know, and you know, Jesse Hawley had told me many times in the past that you don't get involved when it comes to another man's money. And I totally understand that. However, if you're at least to a certain extent revamping or changing, or even if you want altering the offensive system, I need the guy that's going to run the whole thing to be there. Like, I understand that you're trying to get paid, but you can't show up to a couple of meetings here and there. Because that's the thing, is every time I heard a speech from him, I would be like, well, you're here now, so that's nice. You know, and if he got up in my face and he's like, well, what the F are you going to do? And I would look right back at him and I would say, I'm going to show up just like I've showed up every single day. What are you going to do?
You know what, though? He did that last year. He showed up every single day while his guys were out there getting their contracts. Like, Zeke was out there holding out, waiting to get a contract. DeMarcus Lawrence wasn't getting surgery on his arm until he got his contract.
And how much did both of their statuses fall?
A bunch of guys that got paid. And I there's no way that I'm just going to be like, no, man, you need to be here while if that's your best leverage that you can have because our company is not doing the right job.
I wonder how much his status falls because the two people you just mentioned.
I don't think he does with the players.
Okay. And you
I think he does with the coaching.
And you might be right about that. But in the fan base, at least, the stock of those two players plummeted this year. Did they not?
Yeah. Because they didn't live up to what they thought $19 million was.
Exactly. And if people dislike Dak Prescott at $2 million and they dislike him at the concept of him, think about this. People who don't like Dak Prescott because he's not a franchise quarterback, so many of them dislike him at the concept of getting $36 million. What is going to happen when he actually gets $36 million? They're going to despise him.
Yeah, but
if he's not there, oh my God.
The boo birds will start coming out and everything. That's why I think it's as important as possible for the optics of things. And I know Jerry Jones doesn't care about optics.
Oh, whatever.
I mean, that's what Jerry Jr. said to him.
Okay, well, that's fantastic. But I'm sorry, I'm calling shenanigans on that.
All right, well, even still, the optics of it need to be, hey, let's go ahead and get it done so we can have a smooth transition to quarterback, coach, working together, and we can take care of this. Now, if they put a franchise tag on him, I mean, you're playing that season, right?
Like,
you can make so much money playing the season out.
You do realize by doing the franchise tag, at minimum, he would make approximately 7 times more money than he's made in the rest of his career combined. At least on the field. Like, I know off the field with endorsements and stuff. But, I mean, that's a gigantic chunk of money. And plus, he was willing to bet on himself once before. If you bet on yourself again, then that franchise tag for what would then be 2021 would be at an astronomical level. And either they're going to give you that, you're going to get paid by the Cowboys, or you're going to get paid somewhere else.
Yeah, I don't think the Cowboys are motivated by how much money they could potentially have to pay the guy because they look at all the merchandise, all the money that they make by having the quarterback there, and they say, that guy's making whatever we pay him back immediately. The quarterback position is valuable. And I think they want to see their quarterback get to work with this new head coach as immediately as possible.
From the 903, could they do a short contract like 2 years? Because I have a lot of Tolos might just be on deck. That's essentially what the franchise tag would be. Because if you're Dak Prescott, there's no way you're signing that 2-year deal because you'd either say, well, I want franchise money where it's instantaneously all guaranteed. And like, let's say the next 2 years of the franchise would be, I have to double check the logistics of it, but it's like 2 for $75 million. All right, so 2 years, $75 million with the escalator clauses. And so you would only do double franchise tags, because then after double franchise tags, then you're free and clear. If you signed a 2 year deal, then they could franchise you for 2 years after that. So you went back to back franchise tags, then you're free and clear, and you're still what, not even 30? And that might be appealing to him. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's talk with our big brain Brian Broaddus right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Coming up at 1 o'clock, Kevin, Are You Better is making a return.
What?
I know. People are freaking out about it. We're going to do that for the first time in a long time. It's going to be tweaked just a little bit, all right? I hope everybody likes the tweaks, but there we are bringing back a lot of the things that you love about it so much. So
I fear change.
Don't fear change. Just change is inevitable. The only thing that doesn't change is change itself.
That is not.
That's is that not a, how fear no. itself? Don't fear fear. All right. Anyway, we got Brian Broaddus joining us right now. And it is, what's going on, Brian? How are you doing today, man?
Doing well, boys. Thank you. Everything's great.
Now, I know you're a big fan of the Senior Bowl, and I asked you this question yesterday on Twitter, and I love the answer. Yeah. When it comes to Senior Bowl game and Senior Bowl practice, which one, like, carried the most weight for you?
Gosh, you know, and I tried my best to answer your question and not be like ride the fence guy, because I hate that. I hate when somebody asks a really good question and then I have to sit there and pause and go, well, okay, this or that. And, you know, I've always loved the practice, but I have seen guys practice really, really well and then play like crap in the game. And you don't get, like, if you're a quarterback, you know, there's so many positions they have, the guys that are, you know, they're filling in at certain spots and stuff like that. And you know, you only get so many reps. You get a lot more reps during the week at practice than you do, say, maybe in the game or opportunity. But you get a guy that can carry it from practice over to the game, I think that's really, really a good thing. But, again, I've seen guys practice poorly all week, play great in the game. So, I mean, it's one of those things where I'm kind of caught between the two. But I always appreciated the practice more, because I felt like you had more opportunity of those three to kind of show me the type of guy you are. But there are guys that perform well on the big stage, and you need to find that out too.
Now,
oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I know that Burrow and Young, you know, a lot of people are speculating. Obviously, they'll go 1-2 in the draft. But this feels like the year of the wide receiver draft, does it not?
Well, yeah, it really does. And, you know, depending on what you think about, like, you know, Okuda from the cornerback from Ohio State, you know, there's some offensive linemen up there. The kid Willis from Alabama, you know, Brown, Derek Brown from Auburn, Isaiah Simmons from Clemson. I'm giving you, like, 4 or 5 defensive guys that are kind of in that top. And, I mean, we might see, yeah, okay, we talk about the quarterback going 1, you know, and then all of a sudden, man, well, there's some defensive guys up there that we have to think about. I think this is a really good draft for the receivers. I think there's some quality offensive tackles in this draft, too, from what I've seen so far. So I'm excited about the prospect of, you know, does the Bengals, does Duke Tobin, do they trade this pick? Does somebody go, you know, up to the top there, give a lot to get there? Just the Bengals feel like, well, wait a minute, we could drop back a few. I mean, the Brown family who owns the Bengals, their father was a big Ohio State guy. And they know they are really big on those types of players. I wonder if they would say, well, you know what, we'll take a Chase Young. We'll look at one of these other quarterbacks, you know, that kind of thing. So I know you're asking me about wide receivers, and you're absolutely right. But there's some defensive players in that top 10, that upper echelon area, too, I think that people are going to maybe take a shot at before we see some of these wide receivers go.
Now, you mentioned offensive line. Is that a – I know we mentioned cornerback as a sneaky position last year for the Cowboys. Is offensive line a sneaky position they might be interested in this year?
You know, I would say that it would probably be on the level of – that third, fourth, fifth round kind of guy. I don't know if they would necessarily say it's 17. Now, maybe on their board, they say, you know what? You know, one of these offensive tackles, say Becton, the kid from Louisville, he's a first-round tackle that's coming out, and, you know, do you draft that guy and maybe play him at guard to start out with? I mean, they've got some issues there at that left guard spot. I mean, we talked about Connor Williams, and, you know, it's now going to be year three for him. You know, they drafted the kid from Penn State. We'll see how he plays. But,
well, and the health of Tyron, too.
Yeah, is it a sneaky need? I wouldn't say that it's one of those things you have to kind of figure out. But, you know, what's the deal with, you know, you say with Tyron Smith at left tackle? You feel like you got things kind of solidified with Lyle Collins on that right side. Are you happy with the swing guy you got there? You know, I mean, there's, I know the Tolos and Cowboy fans out there going nuts and like, Broadus, there's no way in hell at 17 they're taking an offensive tackle. You know, but I personally think the first three picks of this team are going to be all defensive players. That's just me.
Me too.
That's just me looking at it right now.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that too. Typically, can you just kind of give me an idea of how things work at the Senior Bowl? Do they typically say, all right, you're going to be this player and you're going to concentrate on this? Or do they give these guys opportunities to say, okay, look, you could be this or this in the draft, so get some reps in at safety and cornerback, or get some reps in at edge and linebacker? You know, how do they work that out?
Yeah, you know, I think that's a really good question, because you've got guys in this draft that clearly could play a couple of different positions, you know, and that's where I'm kind of like, you know, the Senior Bowl gives these guys an opportunity. The combine, you could see they'll work guys out at certain positions. Like it might be a running back that they'll look at as a wide receiver, or a quarterback they'll look at as a wide receiver. An example of the Senior Bowl is a guy like Marlon Davidson, the defensive end from Auburn. You know, he was like a big left end at Auburn, you know, and so you're thinking, well, he doesn't look very athletic doing that. He does, you know, he's just a big guy. He might be just kind of, you pigeonhole him in that one area, but then all of a sudden they move him to the Senior Bowl, they move him to defensive tackle, and he's like, boom, he's getting up the field, quickness, the rush, attacking the gap and all that, and he goes from 286 pounds to 297 pounds. And now you're going, whoa, wait a minute, somebody's got to him and told him, hey, you're not going to be just this base end. You're going to be a legitimate nose, or maybe even an under tackle or a three technique. And that's how people kind of look at you, though. But some of these guys will kind of get the word filtered down that, hey, we're not evaluating you as a defensive end. We're going to evaluate you as a defensive tackle. You know, I mentioned Isaiah Simmons from Clemson.
Yes, he's a tweener.
He plays everywhere. He plays everywhere. He plays slot. He plays safety. He plays linebacker. I was talking to people that are evaluating him as a linebacker. So, yeah, he's there. You know, those guys that can wear a lot of hats, they kind of figure things out for you.
Yeah, that was how Darren Woodson kind of mentioned that the other night. He was like, look, it was Jimmy. It was that coaching staff that recognized and said,
absolutely,
they could convert me into that kind of a player and that give me those kind of opportunities. Now, Javon Kinlaw left early after a couple days of dominating practice, and Kevin says out, or he's very concerned about something like that.
Not out. I'm just concerned when somebody gets hurt straight away and can't make it through even like the practices leading into.
Well, but there's some question, guys, and I think you've muted me on Twitter, both of you, so I appreciate you doing that. And, you know, and it, by the way, it's the absolute right call. I mean, I am not. Don't feel bad about muting me on Twitter. That's a good thing, guys. That's good.
No, we would never do that. How would we know that you're grinding in the film room if we don't see you on Twitter?
You know, we all work together, so you talk to me. You can call me up, but mute me on Twitter so you don't have to deal with this. But, yeah, I talked about Kinlaw. There's some questions because I was wondering, okay, why does Daniel Jeremiah, who's very good on the NFL Network, former NFL scouts, Ravens, Philadelphia Eagles, guy I love, absolutely respect, you know, got a great voice in the war rooms and stuff. Okay, he's got Kinlaw going to 25, and I'm thinking, what does he know that I don't know? And, you know, and now you're starting to hear some little bit of whisperings about some knee concerns, some concerns about that. So, again, at the combine, let's see, is this something that, you know, that he's going to have to deal with the rest of his career? or is this something that is just something that he needs rest and they can go from there?
Is the combine the next big thing, or is it more like, you know, pro days will be the focus as well?
Combine. We'll combine, and then we'll get done with the combine, and then you'll start into the pro days. That's where, you know, now then you'll see every week these teams. Generally Wednesday during the week is a big day, and the colleges have done a great job of trying to help the scouts out by kind of spacing them out where they say, okay, at Ohio State, Michigan, Notre Dame, you know, that kind of thing. They all kind of go back to back to back, to where if you're in that area, you just can kind of make an easy trip. It's not like, oh, we got to run from Alabama up to South Bend. Oh, wait, we got to go all the way out to USC. No, they've got scouts for those areas, but the teams do a really good job of kind of making sure that these general managers and coaches can hit these pro days as we get done after the combine.
Now, we saw that we got Brian Broaddus joining us right now on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Check him out, at Brian Broaddus on Twitter. Yeah, go follow him right now.
Mute me on Twitter,
yeah.
But at least follow him before you mute him.
Yeah, follow me for like 2-3 days and then mute me after that.
Fair. Yesterday we saw the story that they're making that change at the Combine, where you go from 60 interviews that were 15 minutes long to 45 that are 18 minutes long. And as a guy who, you know, watches the physical player, how important is that interview part?
Gosh, it's huge. And it used to be such a scramble. I wish you guys could have been a part of what we were doing in the early 90s. It used to be where, okay, at the Cowboys, and in 1990, I think Michael Vick came out in 99, mm-hmm. 2000, somewhere right there. I think we didn't even have a first-round pick, all right? We didn't have a first-round pick. But we still at the Combine interviewed Michael Vick. You know, I mean, it used to be like a scramble of grabbing players. There was no uniformity to it at all. It was like whoever you can grab. And if you ever the train station there there in Indianapolis where the players stayed, were all these rooms on the first floor. Each team had their own interview room, and so you were just grabbing these kids. Oh, come on in! I need you to talk to this guy. You know, you're literally. I mean, nowadays at least it's organized. Back in the day, it was chaos, and it, you know what? And it was a lot of fun. Because you got to know kids, you got to kind of interact with them. I mean, Cornell Green, who was a great player in the NFL for the Cowboys, wanted to kick my ass one night because I grabbed a player in front of him. And here's this old man. He would have beat my ass. There's no question about it.
Oh, no.
I mean, no, seriously, this 60-year-old man would have beaten my ass. He was that kind of player. I respected him, you know, watching him play. But, yeah, you're grabbing these kids and stuff, and it was important. You know, you tried to kind of have a little bit of order, who you wanted to talk to, who your coaches wanted to talk to, who your GM wanted to talk to, but it was a free-for-all. The Giants used to administer a 400-question test, which took forever for the players to finish. And so now you're trying to, like, stay outside of their room and grabbing guys. But, yeah, huge importance for the interviews. And now that the fact that they've kind of they've given it some uniformity and then they've allowed it the time limit to go a little bit further – these will get these coaches. The most important thing, guys, I'm going to tell you, is the 30 visits, in my opinion. That's the most important, because that's where you can sit down and really put these kids on the board, talk to them about why they did this or why they didn't do that, and then have an interaction where Jerry Jones, Stephen Jones can have dinner with them in a one-on-one setting and get to know them a little bit better.
Do you get the sense, or in the times you've participated in those sort of things, is it just...
Oh, I miss it.
Okay, yeah. Is it more like... friendly buddy-buddy? Do you try to put some pressure on them to see how they react?
Yeah, you want to make these kids feel so uncomfortable. There was a kid named Tremaine Mack back in the day. And Tremaine Mack was a defensive back out of Miami. And Tremaine Mack admitted to me that he was an alcoholic. And this was at 12:30 at night. I mean, I'm sitting there and I'm like, he came by our room there with the Packers and said, hey, I'm sorry I missed you guys. I know I was supposed to come by and all that. I'm like, hey, don't worry about it. We'll catch you another time. He goes, you mind if we just talk right now? And I'm like, sure. Sat down, and the guy admitted he had an alcohol problem. So, I mean, Ted Thompson at the time was, you know, our head of player personnel. Ron Wolf was the general manager. And this kid kind of spelled out his story about the problems and the struggles he had. And it was one of those things where when we went back to Green Bay, you know, I told him, I said, hey, I talked to Tremaine Mack, guys. He told me he's got an alcohol problem. Well, he goes in the second round. I think the Bengals drafted him. And sure enough, though, he bounced out of the league because he had an alcohol problem. So, you know, you try and get to know these kids the best you can. You try and get to let them open up to you. You try to kind of play good cop, bad cop with them. You know, you try and see what kind of reactions you can get from them. So, yeah, it's kind of a – you could be combative with them, and they could kind of hate you, but then another guy, another coach says, oh, it's okay. Settle down, Brian, you know. Why are you asking him those questions? See, Jeff Ireland got in trouble for asking Dez Bryant a really pointed question. If you guys, I think you were doing radio
I still think that was a fair question given what I heard the answer before that was.
Exactly. And see, you know, and is Jeff, and I worked with Jeff, is Jeff the most nicest guy? No, he's not. But Jeff asked a question to get a reaction from Dez, and Dez became very agitated about it. And Dez got on me one time because I said on the radio that it was one of the worst family situations that I'd ever seen with a player. And I said it in a way of being admiring him for overcoming these things. You know, and he and I talked it out, and I love Dez for what he did there. But yeah, there's questions that you can ask these kids that, you know, you gotta be on point though. You gotta, you know, it's almost like being a lawyer, a trial lawyer. You gotta know the answers to the questions when you ask them, because that's the reaction that you want to get.
Appreciate the insight as always, good sir. Loving having you on here.
Well, thank you, boys. I hope I didn't go too far off the path, but I do appreciate the time I get to spend with you guys.
If you get the chance to re-listen to all the things you said, I want you to be really proud of us for not interjecting.
Yeah,
anything.
Man, we were good today, Broadus.
You know, it's because you do this show now from 10 to 2. Because at night, you know what? You're like, okay, we can be a little loose with our content, you know?
Oh, now I had a follow-up nighttime question prepared.
Yeah, now there's people listening. Now there's people listening more to you, so you can't ask me these ridiculous questions, and you can't, like, make me feel bad about something that I didn't really do. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh.
Fine, I'll tweet it to you. I'll do that, and then you can block me.
No.
All right, Broadus, have a good one.
Later, man.
Thank you, boys. Appreciate it. Take care.
At Brian Broadus. At least follow him before you mute him.
Quick radio rewind. Maybe you could figure it out.
Yeah. And then tweet us at KNC1053. Two things. What do you think he said that we were going to comment on? And what would your follow-up question have been? Because I had at least three of them. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, Luka is named an all-star game starter, but could he have done a little bit better? Plus, your next chance to win $1,000. All of that next right here on The Fan.
All right, we got a bunch of stuff happening right now that we got to get to. Man, that was phenomenal work by Shippy.
Thanks.
So there are a couple things that are happening right now. One is a tweet sent by potential Las Vegas Raiders quarterback Tom Brady to Eli Manning, and that is that he tweeted Eli Manning and said, I'm not going to lie.
I wish you had won no Super Bowls.
I wish you had won no Super Bowls, because he obviously took those two from Tom Brady. But Tom, you've had enough.
Tom Brady's a scumbag, but that is hilarious.
Yes, that is objectively funny. The other thing about Tom Brady here, Kevin, is Jake Glazer is reporting, according to Raiders Wire, that the Raiders could aim at Tom Brady for free agency.
Oh.
And so if Jay Glazer is mentioning that, there is some information that he's gotten.
Oh, my goodness.
And I started thinking about this for a second. Like, that's clearly like a pie in the sky kind of idea. He's not leaving New England.
Don't anybody tell Carr about this.
But he was in
Las Vegas. You saw how he melted down yesterday.
He was in Las Vegas talking to the owner. And quite honestly, don't they need a splash when they hit Vegas? Like, wouldn't that be the biggest splash around if Tom Brady comes over to start that franchise?
Or if they brought Rich Gannon back.
Okay.
Come on, man. Chippy.
What?
That's not going to happen. He's in the booth now. When you go to the booth, you don't come back.
I was really worried there for saying that he, like, passed away and I didn't know.
Oh, yeah. No. He's all right.
That's what it felt like.
So, how big of a deal would that be, though, for the Las Vegas? That brand, the
man,
Raiders brand,
that's
Tom Brady,
true.
And he would just be like every old superstar. They go to Vegas and they do their show once a week in Vegas. Like, that's Britney and Wayne Newton. They all go to Vegas, and they do their shows in Vegas, Kevin. So that's what Tom Brady. Like, I'm very interested in this story, though, because that could be huge. The other thing, too, though, Marlon Humphrey. Do you know who that is, Kevin?
Yeah, we had him on the show once.
Nope. That's
doing improv.
No,
that was Marlon
Humphrey.
Wayans.
Marlon Humphrey is the cornerback safety for the Baltimore Ravens. And he tweeted out his top 100 players.
All 100 of them?
No, he tweeted out his top 20.
Oh, okay.
Because, you know, for the NFL Network's top 100. Yeah. And so he went ahead and put his out there.
Okay.
And who his top 100 were. At number 20, Bobby Wagner. At number 19, George Kittle.
Okay.
18, Marcus Peters. 17, Chandler Jones. 16, Nick Chubb.
Wow, really?
Yeah, he moved Christian McCaffrey down to number 15. He has Travis Kelce at 14, Tyrann Mathieu at 13,
whoa,
Ronnie Stanley at 12, DeAndre Hopkins at 11, Aaron Donald at 10, Shaq Barrett at 9.
Wow, there are some bold things on this list.
Luke Kuechly at 8.
Oh, he's retired.
Julio Jones at 7. Derrick Henry at 6, and he had to play against Derrick Henry, so he knows.
Julio Jones at 7, yeah. Huh?
Stephon Gilmore at 5, Drew Brees at 4, Pat Mahomes at 3, Michael Thomas at 2, and Lamar Jackson at number 1. Now, obviously, that's a little biased because that's his teammate.
Do you rather have Lamar Jackson or Pat Mahomes?
Right now? Pat Mahomes.
Okay.
I need the arm if I'm going to stretch the field that way. And plus, Pat Mahomes looks so comfortable running the ball, too. Like, those things really do matter to me. So I just thought that was a little interesting. But that Tom Brady thing, that thing right there is pretty interesting to me. From the 817, the Raiders do not want a washed-up quarterback. I know, as a Raiders fan, they hate him due to the Tuck game.
That's true. That is absolutely
true.
But
would they not want him? They would be like, nope, not taking Tom Brady. Who are the Raiders fans?
Of course they would take Tom Brady.
That city of Las Vegas.
Any suggestion to the alternate is ridiculous.
You're making the assumption right now that Raiders fans are the same Raiders fans from L.A., from Oakland. No, this is Las Vegas now, and that city they have to win over. So, like, I think that they have to go in there and make a big deal to the city, and I think a move like that would be perfect. Kevin, Luka Doncic made the All-Star game. Not only did he make the All-Star game, he is a starter. And it took Dirk Nowitzki a couple times, like, before he was a reserve. And Jason Kidd, I think, was a starter. So he and Jason Kidd are the only two Mavericks to ever, at this age, be announced as starters. He is the youngest European player to ever be announced as a starter in the NBA, and the ninth youngest to be announced in the NBA overall.
Oh,
and the youngest to do it since LeBron James.
Whoa!
So Luka Doncic now, and I'm curious. 877-881-1053. For all the accomplishments that he's had so early, how big is this one? Because with the Pro Bowl, nobody thinks anything about the Pro Bowl game, right?
Right.
We think
I'm going to be doing a lot of scouting.
All right, I'm interested in seeing what you scout on that. And
thanks.
Get your report on 1053thefan.com.
Mm-hmm.
With the All-Star game, like, it's fun and everything, but it's a show. Like, it's mostly the home run derby. But with the NBA All-Star game, I think this is a little bit different because they really respect that specific honor.
Okay, so let's go through this and figure this out real quick. How many, you can count them up in your head, feel free to text in, Autoflex Leasing Fantex, 877-881-1053. How many of the 10 starters are the 10 best players in the league? Okay?
The 10 starters are the 10 best.
Yep.
Okay.
Anthony Davis?
Yeah.
Luka?
Yeah.
Harden?
Yeah.
LeBron?
Yeah.
Kawhi?
Yeah.
Giannis?
Yeah.
Embiid?
Maybe.
Pascal Siakam?
Not yet.
Nope. Kemba Walker?
Nah.
Trae Young?
Ooh, no.
So
they're all top 20. Maybe not Siakam, but I mean, Siakam's a good player, but I think most of those are top 20 players.
I would have to put a little bit of thought into that, but that's probably close enough. But yeah, so you're looking at probably legitimately, you could make a strong argument that 7 of those are the 7 of the 10 best players in the world. So that's pretty good. You know, like, I can make an argument against many people in the Pro Bowl that I'm like, really? But Looking at you, Xavier Rhodes. So, but 7 out of 10 here that are the starters are the best players on the planet. And part of the reason that the number's not higher is because of the disproportionate amount of top-level talent between the Western Conference and the Eastern Conference. So I think it's a hell of a big honor.
This is a little different. Somebody said LeBron likes him. That's why he's a starter. No, the LeBron liking him has nothing to do with this. This was vote with the players, the media, and the fans.
Yep.
And it was a collective vote. And so that's who the starters are.
Yep.
Now, LeBron, if he drafts him, and that's very interesting to me, Kevin, who will be LeBron? Because the captains are going to be LeBron and Giannis, who he had the most amount of votes, or was it LeBron?
I'm not sure I saw the answer to that.
All right, so I think Giannis had the most, and then LeBron, and then Luka. But in this situation, Kevin, they get to draft the teams. Who gets to draft first? Do we know yet? When will we find that out?
Well, it would have been whoever had the most votes. And just by the way, in case you're curious about that, fan rank for guard voting, Luka number one. Player rank, Luka number one. Media rank, Luka number one. So
yeah,
there you go.
With that, if whoever had the most votes, if LeBron would he pass up on his teammate Anthony Davis?
Yeah, he's already on the team.
Hold on, what are you saying here?
Look, man, the All-Star Game is a perfect opportunity to go ahead and tamper and rig free agency. That's the main reason that I was hoping that Luka would be the top vote getter, all right? So we could go ahead and tamper in the free agency process, and he would draft the people that he thinks would be the best fit alongside him, and he's just like, I'm just saying, you'll be free in a year, or you'll be free in 2 years.
What if he was drafted by LeBron and then forced to trade to Giannis?
Ooh, yeah. Ooh. By the way, LeBron...
Yeah, Shippy, I saw your eyes light up when I suggested
I like
that.
It.
LeBron had the most votes. Giannis did not have the second most votes.
Oh, he didn't? So Luka did?
Yep. But since they're both the
Eastern and Western Conference.
Exactly.
Gotcha. He had the most votes in the Eastern Conference. Wow, that's impressive, man. And yeah, the voting was 1, 2, 3 in that order. That's impressive. And I know somebody said, thank God for social media, because that's why Luka became what he was. Yeah, Dirk Nowitzki did not become a star with social media. He became a star by being in the playoffs consistently. Luka has behind-the-back passes, in-between-the-leg passes, sweet dunks, big-time plays that go viral on Twitter, and so the rest of the world got to see him a lot faster than most people. And so this is a great opportunity for a guy who's living up to the hype to be in that limelight and also get the credit that's due while he's at the age that he is. This is a huge deal for him, and I'm really excited because he gets to be a starter on this team. And he even said he would love to play with LeBron. He said, you know how much LeBron means to me. I would love an opportunity to play with him.
For people that are curious, Taco Fall finished 9th in the front court voting the Eastern Conference, and Steph Curry finished 10th in the guard voting for the Western Conference, even though he's not playing. So there's that.
All right, this is a dumb vote. We should just get rid of it. Luka didn't earn it.
We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. What are you doing? He definitely, I told you, he was top for coaches, top for media, top for players, top for fans.
Plus lots of triple doubles.
Yeah.
Well, yes.
Even if he's stat watching.
Dude, what are you doing right now? Are you me? We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it might be, because we're about to rock your world with this, the return of Are You Better? And we've got a new spin on it. So we're going to be looking at some different things.
Do?
I think you're going to enjoy it. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
How'd we change it?